to receive understanding.
Even now, your word is shared. We receive Jesus in Jesus' name.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. Last week we studied something on the life of honor.
And we just want to continue that going forward.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. For ye see your calling, brethren, now, but not many wise men, after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the strong. So in our practice of honor, we say that God sent out men. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, either believes, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever commanded you. Behold, I'm with you, or Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So we say that there are things that must be taught. And when we are dealing with the subject of honor, it must be taught. We have said that culturally we have a way we honor. Some of us, like me, I'm a Uganda man. There's a way we honor. There's a way they teach you, and there's a way you raise in honor. But when it comes to the spiritual setting, biblically, there is also a culture of honor that is taught to us in the Bible. You see, that there can be things that are natural, but there's a spiritual way. For instance, morality is different from righteousness. Righteousness is not morality, and morality is not righteousness. But basically, the reason for the biggest difference comes in why. Why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? And that's where you find the distinction. And we found out that honor is value. Honor is value. You put value. You attach value. We said honor goes beyond financial, but it's in there. But honor is to value. And we said that the main challenge of honor, or the main reason for this honor, is the main reason why there should be honor. I'm going to say that again. The main challenge for honor, the main reason why we have dishonor, should be and is the main reason why there should be honor. And that reason is humanity. That Jesus' major problem with the religious leaders was his humanity. He asked them, for which good deed do you seek to stone me? He said, not for a good deed, but the fact that you, a man, are wanting to make yourself God. So they wrestled with the fact that God can become a man. So his humanity was the reason why they stumbled over. It's the reason why they dishonored him. Amen. So we honor because of humanity. We ought to honor more. Praise the Lord. And so you see, like we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 25 to 27, 1 Corinthians 1. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he tells them that God did not save you based on what you could do for God. Like, God doesn't just go out and say, let me get the most popular musician, let me make him born again, because he dances well, bring many people to me. No. God didn't save you because of you. He saved you because of him. Okay? So, and he said that the work of God will look foolish in the eyes of men. So he has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. He has chosen the best things of this world to disappoint. That word confound means to disappoint. God's choices in the natural are disappointing. God's wisdom can be disappointing. What God chooses to do in the natural may not make sense. And the wisdom of God is contrary to the wisdom of the world. So if you want to be at peace, you must first of all acknowledge that when God is going to choose people, He does not consult you. God doesn't need your input. God doesn't need your suggestion before He chooses whom He will use. And most times, most often, more often than not, the choice that God makes will not make sense to us. How many of you have already been shocked that God chose me? Because even now I'm shocked. So, the choices of God may not make sense. And if that's where you start from, you have already set yourself up for offense. Praise the Lord. And I tell you that word, the best thing, is the Greek word, agenis. Agenis. That means without descent, or no family, or despite. Can you imagine? God, in anointing a king, went to the house of Jesse and picked the 8th son, the one who was not even regarded by his father. He wasn't even in the anointing service. No military experience. He's just a shepherd boy. And God chose that boy. And that boy, as we have known, is King David. So, no one knew about it. No one expected. In fact, the prophet asked, are you sure this is it? One house boy. Zozen. But you want his mouth? No, bring it. And when they brought him, that was God's choice. Imagine how the brothers must have felt. What about Joseph? Joseph is the which son? 10? Joseph, the son of Jacob? 11th, yeah, okay, because Jacob was substituted into Manasseh and Ephraim. Okay, so he's the 11th son. Can you imagine? Passes all the 10 and goes to the 11th. Because God just likes to mess with our mind. Amen. So you will do yourself good to make peace with whom God has chosen. So the reason why Paul took that route in the book of Corinth is because human wisdom had infiltrated that church, and there's a way they had started to take things which was not the way that God saw them. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. Can you imagine? That he may be wise. 1 Corinthians 3:18. If any man thinks he's wise, let him become a fool that he may be. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in, for all things are, whether poor, you see now the context of all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all things, all are yours, and your Christ and Christ is God. So, God will confound the wisdom of the wise. That's why the majority of the atheists are very learned. How many of you know that? Much of the smartest people in the world are the ones who cannot. They will not understand the Immaculate Conception because they have too much wisdom. So, suppose if you want to become wise, first become a fool. First start seeing that God becomes a man. First start seeing that this man is flawed and is crucified. Can you crucify the Son of God? Can't happen. You see, it's foolishness to them. And then you die and 3 days you resurrect. It's foolishness. So, God's wisdom makes a fool of man's wisdom.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 6, look at Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from there and came to his own country. Look at this. Jesus came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing were astonished. Okay? Saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now look at that. Let's first stop there. Jesus goes to preach to his own kindred. He goes to his home country. He preached there. They are astonished at his wisdom, which means the man knows things. Okay? The man knows. They are astonished at his miracles. They agree they are miracles. They say, my God, you are anointed and you're deep. But you see where the challenge comes from. In verse 3, they now say, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. I want you to see the sequence of those things. Man of God, you are amazing. Remember, he has gone where? Home. You are anointed. You know these things. And then they were offended at his humanity. Why? Because they knew where he grew up from. They knew his siblings. Can you imagine how petty? They knew that he used to fetch water at the well. And they were offended. That offense was in unbelief. The very reason why they didn't like him is because they knew him. In this teaching, you are going to be correcting yourself. Because they knew him, Pastor Godi, they were offended. And many of you know how easy it is to preach to your family. Everyone else knows man of God. When you go home, they even have nicknames for you. Is the way they call me at my home? I have prayed to God and it has remained in the home. It has never come out. One day someone almost stumbled at it. Hallelujah. They were offended at his humanity. Because they knew him. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. They were disappointed because he grew up when they are seeing him. So he can't be God because they saw him, not you. Can anything good come out of it? Can you imagine? Can anything good come out of nothing? You. They even point to the mouth. In fact, your sister is. And they stumbled. They were disappointed because he was a normal person. He didn't come from heaven like this. Then he landed in the synagogue. Do you know if he came from heaven like this and landed in the synagogue? Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord with echoes. Lord. He's upon me. Lord. You know people who fall down in awe at angels more than they did at Christ? Yeah. Because it did come with background sound and lighting.
like the angels,
oh, appeared before the shepherd. So they were offended. And you know, God deliberately did it like that. Amen. Isaiah had prophesied about him. Isaiah 53 verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah said Jesus was not 6 foot three. He wasn't handsome with long curly hair like you have seen. The one you have seen, what is his name? What's that guy's name? What's his name? The guy who asked Jesus. Huh? That's the one you know. That's Jesus. He has beautiful eyes. Isaiah said, he has no form of qualities. In fact, he grew up. God incarnate would think like, the next day you will be a teenager. Then the next day you will be a man. Then you will just be walking in air. As the Son of God. But he was a man. He grew up normally. He had friends. He had brothers. And it's not unlikely they used to disagree with his brothers. He was a man. He was a man. Then at 30, he just comes and starts telling us these things. Where is he from? You see, that's what he's saying. Who are you? Which Bible school did you go to? They were offended. John 1:11 said, he went to his own and his own received him not. His own received him not. They rejected him. Jesus, unlearned, a carpenter. He hadn't gone to smart or bulldog, no. He had gone to the school of carpentry and joined them. Amen. That's where he had learned from. But then the wisdom he had. And then Jesus picked 12 men. It's argued that some of them were even teenagers, 13 and 14. Everything is against him. That's why in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, they say, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, idiots, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Jesus chose men who were not intellectuals. They were unlearned. Which is ridiculous sometimes, because we think God can use unlearned men, but he cannot use poor men. They were unlearned. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Because Jesus was also unlearned. You are disappointed? Jesus was unlearned. He wasn't a lawyer, no. He wasn't a doctor like Luke, no. He wasn't an engineer like Paul, no. He was a carpenter. A son of a carpenter. Carpentry was not a noble profession. No, he wasn't. But that is where God put salvation. That is where God put salvation. Look at John chapter 7, verse 11. John chapter 7, verse 11 to 15. I want to show you that Jesus was unlearned. Then the Jews told him at the feast and said, where is he? And there is so much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some say, he is a good man. Others say, nay, but he deceives the people. Verse 13. How be it no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews? Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Verse 15 again. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? I have been asked those things, which Bible school did I go to? How knoweth this man the letters, having never learned? Like he knows the scriptures. You see, that's the problem with people. When you don't know the question, the fact that you don't know.
When you know, they now want to know why you know. Oh, how you know? Okay. Where did you go to? He was on land. And his company was on land too. But that's where the salvation was.
Born of poor parents. At his dedication in Luke chapter 2, there was no offering from them.
In fact, the reason,
some scholars believe that the reason the wise men brought those gifts, they were to take care of him.
His parents could not afford good lodging to be born in Nakasero Street. Oh, which other good hospital is there?
They were poor. The parents of Jesus were poor. So the wise men bailed him out. And that is what he lived on when he went to Egypt and stayed there. Came back after 2 years. The Son of God was exiled. Did you know that? Now we think God is almighty. Yes, he is. So because he's almighty, he can do anything. But his son is running for his life. Amen?
No.
Amen.
So, this should teach us, we never disregard believers because they are poor. Or because they have little. As I said last week, I'll say today, poverty or wealth is not a sign of piety. It's not a sign of your relationship with God.
You know, I realize something. When it comes to money, we always attach God. When it comes to education, we don't.
Like, we can never say, how can a man of God be without a PhD? How many of you ever say that? But if you can say, how can a man of God not drive? How can a man of God not have a PhD? How? You have the wisdom of God. How? Just write a thesis and get a doctorate. Is that how it works? So we do not regard men based on what they have. And I know some places, they even ridiculous. They put people in leadership because of what they have. They make people pastors because they have money. Abomination. That's not how God chooses. God would have gone to the high and mighty who are living in the Nauru of Bethlehem. I don't believe that. And from there, chosen one to be the savior of the world. But that's not what he did. Remember, the wisdom of God will confound the wisdom of men. In the faith, we honor you because of the faith. We regard you based on your service and your knowledge, not your wallet and your garage.
Hallelujah. It will never happen in this church.
We shall fight it. Amen.
And some people have had problems in this church earlier because I didn't regard them based on their wallet.
When they came late to church, I told them, you are late. Yes, you give a big offering, but you are late. And I said, that boy, who does he think he is?
Everyone knows me, I will tell you as it is. Okay, not as it is.
You won't be getting any favors because of your position. If you are an MP, your MP stops there. When you come here in the church, there is a structure. And it's biblically founded.
Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40.
You know, the one in Mark, I didn't, anyway, we may come back to it. When Jesus says the prophet is without honor, except in his own home, but we'll come back to it. Matthew 10:40 says this. We talked about delegated authority. He says, he that receives you, receives me. And he that receives me, receives him that sent. When God sends someone, his honor is on them. What did I say? When God sends someone, honor is there. When you reject a man, you reject he who sent him. Are you God? God is the one who sent me. When you reject God. Please, as a believer, get this added. It will help you a lot. God doesn't fit into your mold. Okay? You fit into his. Say, God doesn't fit into my mold. I fit into his. So we must see men in Christ. Hallelujah. We must see people in. Praise the Lord. Now let me say this. If you treat unbelievers irrespective of their position with more honor than you treat believers because of their position, you are carnal. You have lost your sense of honor. What do I mean? If a minister comes to visit you and you are sir. You even can't walk back, can't give a room. But when your pastor knocks, say, "Who is there?" It's me, Pastor God. "Hey, wait, I'm still dressing up." "Hey, Pastor, sit there." And then it sounds to be ready, but some of you honor your bosses more than you honor your pastor. You have lost your sense of honor. You call your boss sir, ma. Sir, ma. Ma is madam. Ma. Anna, yes, madam. Have you finished filing the return? "Hi, this is madam. Pastor, I came very early." Your pastor asks, "Hello, where are you? You were supposed to come and arrange it." "Ah, pastor, now it's early day." You understand? You are walking in this honor. Believers are family. We honor people in Christ higher than we honor others. Praise the Lord. What you want to do in front of your boss, never do in front of your pastor. And I say that again. What you don't do in front of your boss, never do in front of your pastor. Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you something. You know, this is why this thing is amazing. It is so simple, but it is so significant. How you treat spiritual things is how much you get from them. Let no one ever lie to you. How you esteem spiritual things is how much you will ever get out of them. They are things that no one will ever lay hands on you for. And there are things, those things you must get one way, and God has ordained that way. And even if you run east, west, south, if you live in dishonor, you will never grow above that dishonor. I promise you, you will never. You can lock yourself in a room and study 8 hours a day, pray 20 hours a day, 3 years, and you will not get it. Who has more land than the Pharisees? but they rejected salvation.
That's why I just told them, you search the scriptures, so you think in them you'll find it.
But they testify of me. So you know what he's telling them? You go. Go search. If you want, search the whole world.
There is none like me.
You go search. You can search for eternity, you know. But if it is perfection, it is here. Can you imagine? Go read all the philosophy in the world. If you want eternal life, it is in the carpenter's son.
And that's how the things of the spirit are.
Some people will run, will hide, will fight, will abuse. But the person God sent to them is here. The earlier you learn that, the better it is for you. So, believers, we honor believers more than we honor secular people. They have their place, yes. But if you find yourself that you walk in this honor towards believers and honor towards other people because they have a paycheck they have to give you, you have lost your sense of honor. Hallelujah. Sometimes believers may even believe different things from us, but they are our brothers. Catholic, Protestant, whoever has believed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the doctrine may not be there yet, but in salvation, the honor of God is upon you. That one may be hard, eh? I have a very good Catholic friend. I think he's nicer than many believers. I call him brother. He is my brother. Hallelujah. And Pastor Gordon, I said this. I have put more honor on my church family than my personal family. For some time, because that is family. You know when they say that's Jesus, your mother and your brother, these your brothers are looking for you. What did he tell them? What did he tell them? My mother and my brothers are where they are here in the meeting. It's not dishonor. It doesn't mean Mary stopped being the mother, but this one, this is my immediate family. We are family. The honor of God or the honor of blood does not allow us to refer to people by their past. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. We are family. Say, we are family.
Yeah.
And we know sometimes family fights, but this family. Family, patria. It means we have the same Father. So number one, write this. The first thing to note about honor is recognition. Is what? Recognition. We are family. We are brothers. That's the first thing. Now, in Christianity, we are first brothers or sister. We are first what? The law of recognition says that the first recognition is that one. We are brother, we are sister. Even your be or your boo, you start by being brother or no. Your first relationship in Christ, that you are brother and
sister.
Hallelujah. So, when you first see me here,
if I am your brother, you don't see your brother. Like,
you don't see your cousin.
When Pastor Corey is here, Mr. Monica has a fussy boo.
Boo, you preach a powerful message. No. Brother in Christ, pastor. Then the pet name starts
outside. Because now, we are receiving him as who? Pastor.
Our brother in Christ, but our pastor. That's how it starts. So you put honor. Now, I have been to some ministries where they even kneel for the men of God. We are not putting a law. But I'm just saying you can sense the honor. I say, let him have a very high view. What is your first talk to about the other people came like this? She went down. I'm not saying studying. I'm just going to ask.
If Pastor Robert Kayanja came and he was seated here, and you wanted to come and pass some information to him, how would you do it? I'll leave that one to you.
If Benny Hinn was seated here and they told you, go tell Pastor Benny he's coming more than 3 minutes, what would you do?
Benny, shut up.
Hello, Benny. I'm just saying. If
you do for one and not another, then you have already, there's a hypocrisy.
Isn't that so?
Yeah.
I was telling someone, ladies who kneel for their husbands in front of their mothers-in-law, when their mother-in-law goes, honey, your mood is there. There is a... You know what? Sarah. So the first thing is the law of recognition. We first understand who these men are, who these women are. And that's why it makes sense not to just call them by their name. Amen. You must learn to put honor where God puts honor. The second thing, you must renew your mind. Romans 12:1. The second thing, you must renew your 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies holy. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of. You must renew your mind about people around you. This is why we teach honor. You must learn to renew your mind. You know, the world has the way it does things. Some of your bosses will say, call me Jeff. Right? Especially white people, say, just call me. Yeah. But you also know it is hard for you to just go and say, Jeff. Your chairman of the whole company comes into the company and is called Stuart. Say, hey, Stuart, the whole.
What do you say when Madam Director comes?
You? What's her name? Tubaka's name? Do you call her that? Why?
Did she tell you to call her Madam? But you do it. And then you come to church.
You say, Paul, I finished your work. Are you seeing why?
Amen. You call Pastor Godwin and then you say, Ronald.
Don't you see indirectly you are not showing them? You are not.
No.
Me, I know who? Pastor, Pastor Gudu. You know, it's not about titles, but there is something about them that even you, when you say it, like for me, I've told you, I have found that when I just call people brother and sister, in my heart, there is a way. Like, if I am in Badem mode, with Brother Victor, I can say it. But when I say Brother Victor, something else, like, in my mind, I'm even already like this. Does that happen to anyone? Or it only happens to me? How many of you call your fathers by their name? However much you don't like them, you call them daddy. Father. Why? There is something, it helps you to put a certain respect and regard of them. Let me go ahead. So you must renew your mind about people. They are first your brethren. Honor isn't a choice, it's an obligation. 1 Peter 2:17. This is a very good one. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor them. That first word means show honor. Honor is in your words and in your actions. Show honor to all men. Honor is in your words and in your actions. Brotherhood. Brotherhood implies those who are together and they come from the same source. We come from the same source. We come from God. Let's attach some honor to ourselves, okay? Because the baseline of honor is love. Honor without love is hypocrisy. Honor without love is hypocrisy. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Do you see that? Be kindly affectionate one another. In honor, preferring one another. That's how we live in church. That's how we behave. Let's honor each other. Let's do what? Let's honor each other. Let's value each other. When you honor the believers, you honor the gathering. If you don't value this gathering, you don't value the people who come here for this gathering. Wait when you arrange a meeting, an important meeting, and people come late. You will feel how much they have valued your meeting. So believers are gathering together. Let's put some honor into it. We come on time. We participate. Okay? We give. Some of you don't give in church, but you give for value. You honor the dead more than the family. I have seen people move on short notice, man. Short. So the cousin of your friend's uncle, they don't manage to but they take a bag in a cover again. They ask for leave from work. They travel. We have Bibles. Some cowards are finished. They told you someone is dead, you rain. Now me, you don't have to copy me. Me and the dead, we are not very. I don't see a lot of point to go and cry over someone who has gone, even to spend a lot of time. In fact, I miss my grandfather's burial. The whole family thought I was crazy. And now me, I thought I go and I miss school. Go in the village. I said, I'm gonna miss you, Grandpa. But you're gone. That's not being a sadist. It is real.
They are dead, aren't they? No, are they dead?
The good thing I have an example. Jesus was preaching and I was telling Master. First, what's this statement? I want you to go by it.
Who was it going to buy?
My father. Then I come and I cut up the second soul. Say, where?
Are you dead?
If they buy dead.
If they're dead, but they are dead. And if you say that today, Paul will say you are insensitive, but it is the truth. And some of you give us, for me, this is how I answer when you give me such excuses. I say it is okay. So why can't I come? My auntie woke up and she just said she wants to see me. So I can't come for church. I'm going to go to my auntie and cook for her. I say what? It is okay.
You go cook. You cook out of eternity.
Because I value the meat. When you value it, you give there. Because honor is in our actions and honor is in our words. We honor our bosses. 1 Timothy 6:2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. Believing employees, stop taking advantage of believing employers. Because you know your boss is born again, you wake up in devotion in office. They say, have you done the
appointment? Tells them, no, we will take time.
They tell you this year we have registered losses. You say, no. Don't speak losses. No, boss, don't speak losses. We make only profits.
No, true story. I have a friend, he's a company owner.
He's a boss. And he was telling me, I am tired of believers. You tell someone to do like this, you pray, no. What is your faith? What is your faith? You know what your problem is? You have not started the business. All you will say, how can you things not make money? Don't you, man of God? You start your own. You go and plant your crops. You realize they need fertilizers more than prayer.
Employ people. You learn that business is more than faith. But I had a man of God take to explain. He said,
when I'm preaching, I'm preaching. When I want to do business, I've come to do business. I don't even want to open in prayer. You leave me alone. Let me just tell me how I'm making money. But you see, what is sometimes they do those things with leaders? Me, I work, I see how money comes. People look for business. Vision breakfast, and that's what you do. You leave home on your scooter, you go to your client, you meet them. Sometimes you do things that they don't like them. You don't say, I'm praying for wisdom and understanding, that you may see what I've done to you. If a client doesn't like your work, what do you change it, right? And they may even be believing clients. Amen. So let's honor them. You know they are believers, they come to the same church as you. You start to take advantage. Do your work. They say, you know, I was still studying this thing. My boss knows I'm a preacher. I have never given an excuse for being late because I was in an overnight. Amen. In fact, where I usually go to do work, people just discover I am a preacher and they'd be shocked. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, 5 and 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You also see that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Now the culture of honor was very evident in the early church, and this is why. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. What happened? Fellowship, doctrine, breaking bread. That was eating. They ate together. The result is in verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. They were together and had all things in common. They saw themselves as the same. Different society, some people were rich, some people were poor, some people were learned, some people were unlearned, some people were middle class, some people were upper class, some people were low class, but in Christ Jesus they were in common. And they did not regard themselves based on where they came from. Okay? They did not just say all things were in common, they did something about it. Verse 45. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They shared. In your church, there are people who have need. People who are not like you. Okay? You bring and you share with the brethren. Some of you have clothes you don't know. Like one day you just be there, we have this soap. There's a sister you see in church with the same top every week, and you talk about it instead of doing something about it. Okay? They share. This is honor. They loved each other. A fruit of honor is gain. Honor gives. Acts 4:32. They had all things in common. No one thought what they had was their own. But they share. It may not always be money. It may not always be money that you give. But honor gives. Amen. Honor gives. And this is for everyone. Even preachers, pastors, all of us should give. And here we all give. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about how they gave to him. The church at Philippi. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says this: let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Tell your neighbor, double. Yeah. The word double in the Greek is the word diplous. D-I-P-L-O-U-S. Let me give you a revelation of what it means. Are you ready to hear what the word double means? The word devil means times two. That is the revelation. The word devil means? They that live among you should receive what?
Devil.
You say times two. They receive times two. Do you know what that means? All is teaching us a proportion to give to ministers. What you give other people, you give how much? To the minister? These are things we fear, but they are scripture. You give tens. If you are not giving to those who labor among you, you are living in dishonor. There's just no way around that. It's the truth. You know, you receive more even from the one you give to. Or you love more the one you give to. Or you give more to the one you love. People in love, you know that, right? Huh? Your love is accompanied by they chop your money, like the Nigerians say. Amen. Love is a verb. Okay. You see, just because something has been perverted, it doesn't mean it's not true. doesn't mean it is not scripture.
You know, there are people who have taken this overboard. And sometimes, for people who teach the truth, we fear to talk about them because some people have misused them. Amen? But this is scripture. The way you tell your pastor that is a blessing is by giving to them. It's not on WhatsApp. Ah, that was a blessing. Ah, that was deep. No, Pastor Godwin. People think ministers have moments. Like somehow you just leave home and then the Holy Spirit throws you a shot. Wow! And then you are right. And then when you go back, you eat manna from heaven. And then when you get sick, you just say, be healed, be healed, be healed.
Ministers have needs. Amen. So you communicate to those needs.
Even the ones who look like they are doing well. You're not giving because the pastor is dying. Like, away they will.
Even I will say, Pastor Godwin, have you seen his walking to church? Something is not right. We need to give to his no.
You give because of honor, not because he's looking malnourished. Randomly, the man of God, what are you doing this weekend? I was saying that. Then we tell my script from Isaiah 7. Isn't it 20? 20 only. And I was blessed.
Pastor Aruna, don't you want to eat at Java's?
No.
And then again. Pastor Aruna told us on Wednesday. Someone called him and bought him something to eat, but he also didn't have transport to go back.
The man thought that the need he had was, you know, he wanted to honor him.
But the man of God didn't also have transport. Sometimes actually just give your ministers a lift. That's all what? Honor. Amen.
Let me leave that one. There are people who hate it when other people are honored. Like there are people who just have a problem when someone is being respected. Are they God? Wow, are we all children of God? Should we, shouldn't it be given to the poor? Like you feel bad when someone is honoring their pastor. Because you're not honoring yours. There are people who are taking care of their ministers. When your pastors go to those places for Chichuba, they will not want to leave there. I'm taking you honestly. Man of God, come. What has already come? I received your pastor. We have a man of God who has come from. This man is a blessed. Even step up on the pulpit and up. Open the book of Matthew. Not that you require, but you see these are men, eh? And they are motivated. Eh? They are motivated.
Yeah.
They are motivated.
Amen.
Let me not lie to you. People have disciples, eh? But their disciples they love more than others. And sometimes it's because those disciples have done certain things. Actually, usually. They will even just. Oh, let me leave that one. We love all our disciples.
Amen.
Honor is in your heart, so you must check your heart. Mark Hankin says this. You don't have to dishonor, you just choose not to honor. You don't have to dishonor, you just choose not to. Sometimes choosing not to honor is dishonor. Amen. Honor is in your heart. Matthew 15:8. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from you. You have to show honor. Amen.
Remember, all that God will use is in man. Salvation of the world was by a man. The preaching of the gospel to be saved is by men. So God uses men.
Ian Bow says man is God's method. God is going to use men. And because God uses men, his honor is upon them.
You know you can receive an angel like Cornelius, but the angel will send you to a man. Or you can receive Jesus like Saul on the road to Damascus, but that
Jesus will also send you to a man, Simon, because man is God's method.
God uses men, so we honor men. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 4. Praise the Lord. The practice of honor. Honor is practical. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. What I wanted. Remember that famous verse, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And he said, guess what they said? Is not this Joseph's son? Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have had done in Capernaum, do also in thy country. And he said, the prophet is not accepted except in his own. But in verse 42, dishonor is in your questions. You have agreed he's the man of God, but then you ask, is he not? They are not asking to know. They are asking to discredit. You know, it's like some people who say, young man.
They are not saying to acknowledge you are young, but they are just saying to show you, you don't know.
Most times they say, you are young, to show you what you can't do. It's in the questions. Haven't you just gotten born again?
It's not a question to inquire when you're going to born again.
So honor or dishonor is in those questions. So you watch what you ask.
Why is it him who is preaching? What is it to you?
Is what is preached wrong? No. What is your business with who is preaching?
Who is preaching? What is it to you?
The person who has put him there has put him there because he can do it.
Are you the one who lead us? I take believers have that stupid dishonor. I know people somewhere, they only listen when a particular man of God is preaching. If anyone else is preaching, they shut up, they go on WhatsApp, they do whatever they want to do. That is the highest form of carnality. You are not a babe, you are a zygote.
What is it to you?
Who is sharing?
What does that mean, who is sharing? Dishonor is in questions.
I have to come to your church. Who is preaching? You go and sit in Jesus' church in the heavens where he saw his God preach.
Sometimes you overtouch men and we dishonor all the other. And sometimes they say the same things, they just don't say them the same way. Your business is with the doctrine, not who is saying it or how it is said. What did I say?
Business is the doctrine, not who is saying it or how it is said. If a 14-year-old is teaching the word properly, receive the word. You leave the 14-year-old alone.
The question is it the word of God? Receive it and receive it.
Amen.
And actually, I don't know why God did it like that. If you don't receive Him, you can't receive it.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed something like that?
Yeah.
If you never receive the vessel, you cannot receive the word. There is no requirement in the Bible that you're supposed to like your pastor. It is not there.
God said, I will give you shepherds. God gives us shepherds. We do not choose shepherds.
When we start to choose them, we choose the ones after our itching ears.
The ones who say the things we like. That's why we say, I like what you say.
One time I told someone, no. You wait when I say what you don't like. Then I'll know if you like me. When you come and you're preaching righteousness, everyone is singing your praises.
Hello, God!
Then you start to teach honor. You start to teach service.
Then you start branding new names.
You have not liked them until you hear all they say. Amen. Sometimes we say, I like preachers who are ABCD. Sometimes you are liking a particular kind of teaching. Your ears like a certain teaching. When they start talking about walking right, that is not the gospel. When they start talking about prayer, we are not under the law. Watch yourself. You may have created a man-made God. Amen. Dishonor will set standards. Luke chapter 4, verse 23. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have had done in Capernaum, do here in thy country. Dishonor will set standards.
If he is a man of God, let him. If he's a man of God, he should be married. Dishonor sets standards.
God doesn't set interviews before he chooses men. And he doesn't put you on that interview panel. Can he be a man of God and support us and you know? This is not that. Amen. He can be a man of God and support a certain political party.
If he is a man of God, he will not have supported.
You are mixing things. God is not a politician.
You know God chooses men, and those men have desires. Some men like wrestling, and they are men of God.
Other men love football. I was ecstatic on Wednesday night. We left the Bible study. We had already prayed for Manchester United. Me, I had.
I shouted. Someone said, how can you shout like that? You can't understand. It is just a body. You can't understand
the passion I have. But does not this man of God me? Doesn't.
What does I want a particular kind of people? They walk like this, they don't shout, they are all together, they come from this tribe.
No. Do you know some people can even be tribal in spiritual things? Have you realized? People can be tribal, Pastor Godwin, in spiritual things. I think that one is a shock.
No. God does not set such standards. Jesus chose 12 men without any history. These men were unlettered, they were poor, they are not from good background,
They even denied him. Simon Peter denied. Thomas said, you are not the one. But they were the ones he chose. It will do you well also to see them like God sees them.
A prophet is without honor except in his spiritual home. It's not a spiritual principle you have to fulfill. So for us, we will never honor our own.
No. It was just an example.
In Mark chapter 6, they say, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not the son of Mary? Is this not the brother of James? Is this not the brother of John? Listen to this.
The less you know about a man of God's humanity, the better for you.
Did you notice that?
Chances are high, if you go to Pastor Gordon's home and you're over busy for a while, you may start to dishonor him. So don't go there. If it's going to cause you to dishonor him, leave it. But I have seen very many believers, they don't know how to be friends with men of God and receive from them.
I have never understood why. For me, it is easy. You keep remembering the guy you saw. This guy is over the weekend. Me, I played basketball with men of God last week. They add you. They want to fight you. Now imagine I said, even you pastor, you're a son of God. You're a preacher. Sometimes the ball will be off them and they'll say, it's not off me. Son of God. You said you take the ball out. A man of God.
But he's a man of God.
He is a man of God.
If you know about their humanity, you must learn to apply the law of recognition. Spouses, learn to receive them as men of God. At home, they may throw socks on the ground, but they are not. They are men of God. They may even be snoring in the night, but they are men.
When they reach here, they are standing in the office that God kept.
So you apply the law of recognition.
When you're dealing with men of God you are related with personally, you must be very, very spiritual. In your thinking, you must be very spiritual.
As I conclude, imagine how it must have felt like for Mary to receive her son as her savior.
No,
your son you raised changed his diapers, you are now going to call Lord.
But she understood the law of recognition. Some of us may have walked in dishonor. We may not have regarded the men that God sent for us. But it's the time now to repent. It's the time to change our mind. It's the time to change our thinking. And begin to regard men as God sent.
I'm talking about both believers and ministers.
The person sitting next to you is your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. You come from the same family.
Have that regard towards them. They're not just normal people who came to church.
These are brethren. Praise the Lord.